guys. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show. I think this shake needs three purple sticks. Two's just not enough today.
You're really putting three purple sticks?
Yeah. You're going to see me pipe up real quick here in a second.
That's 300 milligrams of green
tea. We love that. We love it here.
Why?
Hope you guys are having a fantastic, successful, amazing, blessed day.
Don't do that. It's too hard on the heart.
I'm good. Once I take my vitamin E and CoQ10.
If you had a bunch of food on your stomach, that might be all
right. I had eggs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had my eggs this morning. I wanted more protein. Be sure to check out the podcast page, my friend, guys, and grab a new shaker. We got these in for y'all. Hope you guys are enjoying them. They're like drop-proof, throw-proof. I tested them specifically when we got them.
They're also dishwasher-proof.
Dishwasher-proof. I tossed one out in the driveway when they came in demo samples because I had one break a while back ago, one of the old ones, and I was like, this is embarrassing. My shakers can't break.
You threw it in the driveway.
I threw it in the driveway. Bounced.
Did you run the Silverado over?
I did not run the Silverado over. They are not Silverado tested. So be sure, guys, to check out the Brower Show for updates on all of the news stories. This is a funny... Michael Barrett cracks me up. The Florida alligators and glyphosate contamination along with drone strikes. That was a heck of a show yesterday, actually, now that I think about the topics that we went across on.
We covered some stuff yesterday.
We did cover some stuff. So be sure, if you guys haven't heard it, stay up to date on the podcast and get updates every day. First name, email, click which one you want, the Brower Show and Health Masters. I'd pick both. That's just me. Get the deal specials for the website and get updates on the podcast every single day.
It's starting again.
What'd you do now?
I didn't do anything.
What's starting?
End of the world.
Ah, end of the world's here again, guys. It's usually every 10 years.
Every 5 to 7.
Yeah, 5 to 7, okay.
Yeah, they're now saying that we're going to be all dead within 2 years.
Exciting.
They're saying it. And by the way, this is complete and total fabrication. There's absolutely no proof of this, and I'm here to tell you right now, it's not going to happen. See, now here's the good thing about this is, it doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong about this. Because if it is the end of the world, which it's not going to be.
Nobody's
going to know about it anyhow. It says, is an extinction-level event coming in 2027 or even sooner? This is fear porn. The answer is no. There's a major cataclysmic event. You know, now we're going to have this happen, another earthquake, Whenever you hear these
another
stories.
Another earthquake, another war.
No. Just the whole thing is just nonsense. Whenever I read stuff like this, I just kind of start laughing. The problem is a lot of people believe this stuff. Not you guys, but I mean a lot of other people. I'm here to tell you, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen until everything is so bad all of the time that every man's thoughts are evil all of the time, and that's going to be the return of Christ. We're not going to have some apocalyptic ending of the world before it gets really, really bad. And then it's not going to get bad because of an earthquake or a meteorite or a tidal wave. It's because God's going to come back and put judgment down on the planet.
Revelations.
So don't believe this stuff. I mean, 88 reasons for the rapture in 88.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. Then all of a sudden it was 89 reasons for the rapture in 88, and the 89th reason was because it didn't happen in 88. And then we had Y2K. Remember that one?
Oh, 2000. I remember that one.
Remember 2012? Remember that one?
Oh, the Mayan calendar was done.
Oh, yeah.
We were done.
The whole planet was done because some bunch of Indians down there like to sacrifice themselves had a calendar, so we decided to go ahead and all die.
Is that movie Apocalypto?
Oh, my gosh.
It's graphic. It was a wild movie.
And then you get those guys. I forgot where they were. And they decided to go kill themselves on top of a mountain because, you know, the spaceships were coming to pick them up.
I remember hearing that. Yeah. That happens every few years.
You know, be careful with this. I mean, don't get yourself caught up in some kind of mess like that. I remember years ago, I knew a lady, her name was Fleeta. I won't use her last name. You have to realize how unbelievably old she must be to have a name like Fleeta. And she's long in heaven with God. And I remember her husband died. And she was very, very wealthy and made a lot of money in Tupperware. Now, she really attributed her vast wealth and fortune to herself and Tupperware and not her husband. Now, I don't know because I never met her husband. But the reality was she got all involved with this apocalyptic church up in Tallahassee. And they gave her an ultimatum, basically, give us all your stuff.
Are you serious?
I'm telling you a story here. I'm not mentioning her last name, and I'm not mentioning any church names. And I'll never forget, she had two huge mansions that she had built up in Killarn, which is a subdivision outside of Tallahassee, real nice with high end. And one of them was being rented back then for like $4,000 to $5,000 a month. This is a long time ago. This would be a $10,000 a month house now to rent. And what happened is, finally, I called her. She called me up years later after I've been down here, living down here for almost 10 years, and she was broke. Some TV, not TV evangelist, but local evangelist there, basically, you know, had this whole world's coming to an end kind of stuff, had basically gotten her to sell everything and give him the money.
Bless her heart.
Now, the reason I say that is this. You know, right now I've got a friend of mine whose mom gave a bunch of money away, and now the friend is in trouble and she needs some legal help. The mom's pretty much broke. Her husband died a few years ago. She gave away a bunch of the money to a nonprofit. And I'm not saying don't give money to nonprofits. I'm not saying don't do that. But don't give all your money to nonprofits.
Well, and be very careful. Some of these groups that do this, look at their underlying background, what they're involved in, what they use the money for.
Are their books open?
Yeah. I mean, if you got some shady nonprofit, you need to give us all your money because we're going to do this and do this. Okay, what do you?
And another guy, I remember years ago, another shady TV evangelist. He had a big ministry in Orlando, and some guy was super wealthy, owned a bunch of buildings downtown and everything else. And he turned right around and he said to the nonprofit, "I'm dying of cancer. Will you please take care of my wife? I'm going to leave you guys $20 million or whatever the amount was. And I want my wife taking care of the rest of her life in the top, you know, facility that's available to her as far as, you know, living." And as soon as he died, they got the money and they put her in the cheapest nursing home they could find in Orlando. And I'm surprised they didn't have rats running through the hallways. And I mean, I see this stuff all the time. Give money to your local church. Don't give it to TV evangelists. I know a whole bunch of these guys, and I wouldn't give any money to any of the ones that I know. Just keep it in your local church. If you have to have a funeral or need to have to come see you and visit you in the hospital, those guys with TV evangelists, they're not going to send somebody to see you.
Nope.
99% of the time, they're not, unless you're some giant whale of a giver. Then they might try to get more of your stuff.
Whale.
And I hate to say that, but I know some of these guys. There's one guy I know. Oh, this is crazy. And he wanted somebody to give him $100 million.
That's a lot of money.
And I mean, he was trying to build a new sanctuary. And he was traveling all over the world doing these seminars all the time on private jets, no less. And finally, I told him one time, I said, "Why don't you just not do these seminars that you don't make any money on if you're bringing this much money in, and just build a foundation for your new facility? And next year, go ahead and build the walls and the ceiling and the roof and all the other stuff, get it dried in, and go ahead and use the existing cash flow that you have coming in to build a facility that you'll be able to use." "Oh, I'll never do that. I want somebody to give me $100 million. Now, he ended up being a megalomaniac narcissist, just to let you know that a lot of them are like that. And I cannot believe, I don't associate all with them anymore, but the point is this: how many people are like that out there that you sucked in like Fleeta did, Austin?
Yep.
And I'm giving you some advice now. If you're going to give a bunch of your money away, do yourself a favor. Give it all away after you're gone, after you're in heaven. Just make it like that in the will. Don't be doing it while you're still alive, because quite frankly, a lot of times you may need that money before you pass away, go to be to heaven, and now you won't have access to it anymore. One thing I've learned about these nonprofits, Austin, and I've seen this 100% of the time,
you're never getting it back.
You ain't getting it back.
No, you will never see it again. Because it's gone.
Because either they're doing it on their lifestyle choices, one of their many mansions.
Or jets.
Or they're putting it in some other type of ministry. But I knew this one guy in California, he had this big TV ministry. He had 25 mansions. They were all parsonages.
25.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a lot, dude.
You know? And a lot of these guys end up being gay. Yeah, but I'm not going there today. It gets really weird.
Well, this is a report that's going to be interesting. You're going to like this. This is a new article that came out from Epoch Times with dozens of aviators, insiders interviewed now. They're saying the airline crews are saying that DEI still persists despite the safety concern and Trump's order.
So these people already hired.
Yeah, but apparently they're still doing some of this crap with some of these airlines. They said nearly a dozen aviation insiders, including a whistleblower who has now filed a federal complaint, asserts that diversity initiatives is causing unneeded distractions and danger.
I believe that.
They said one of the flight instructors basically told his family not to fly anymore on a specific airline. The flight instructor described unusual steps managers took to salvage the career of a young female trainee pilot. Listen to this. They said the instructor described an egregious example of standards being relaxed to meet DEI goals. The female trainee repeatedly failed rudimentary pilot training tests, crashed the computer simulation flight, proved her inability to operate an airplane's three most basic control mechanisms, and continually lost basically mental stability during operations. She was rehabilitated and allowed to continue, even though she should have been washed out of the program completely. I don't care if you're a man or woman. This is concerning to me. They told the Epic Times on a condition basically of being anonymous.
I knew a girl. We're going to rename her. She's a pilot trainee. We'll call her Susie. Her name was not Susie. A really nice girl. Really nice. Failed her pilot test multiple times. Couldn't fly the plane.
You got to be built a certain way to fly, man. It's not. It's like race car drivers. You either got it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't learn some of those instincts.
Like telling me you can't send a duck to Eagle School.
It just doesn't work. Yeah. You try. You can add little wings to him. You can push him through the line. You can put a little DEI hat on him.
Still a duck.
It's still a duck.
You know.
And I'm not picking on female pilots because there's some guy pilots that fail too. They can't fly.
That's right.
But either which way, I don't care if you're white, black, male, female, you don't need to be operating an aircraft if you can't operate it properly.
Well, the biggest thing is emotional stability.
That's exactly right.
You can't get panicky if something happens. You know, you hear these guys like, you know, when they landed on the Hudson. Remember that?
Oh, with...
what was his name?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tom Hanks did that movie on it.
I forgot his name, but he says... Scully.
Yep.
Thanks, Rich. He goes. We're not. He says.
We're not going to make it.
They told me back to the airport. He says we don't have the way to do. He says we're putting it down.
We're water landing.
What do you mean, punch him? We're landing on the river Hudson.
Yeah.
And I mean, he never even cracked.
He was an EMT.
Voice never cracked. Nobody died. Put it right down on the water.
Yep.
Boom. Done.
And you then they tried to eviscerate him for it.
Oh, yeah. They tried to blame him for the loss of the aircraft.
Yeah.
And then they had the guys, well, we've had our pilots do this. They put them on the simulator. How many times have you tried? Like 70.
Yeah.
To get it done once. And he goes, I didn't have 70 tries. I had
one
try.
One try.
But he became a national hero because of that. And that you can't be panicking. I remember, I told you this, what Galen told me years ago when he was training me. He goes, no matter what happens in this airplane, I don't care if you've got a fire, you got a landing gear issue. He says, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens. You fly the airplane.
Listen to this. It says FAA employee who requested to be anonymous said the agency is moving around pro-DEI personnel and changing their titles to build them in the system and keep them at the forefront. Airline employees have made similar statements. Employees are claiming that airlines appear to be generally ignoring the mental and physical health risks prevalent among people who identify as transgender. A subgroup that airlines typically have now embraced is inclusivity orders. Some workers also allege that airlines are force-feeding gender ideology to them via mandatory training sessions to their pilots. Seeing DEI persist is particularly troubling in a safety-dependent industry such as aviation. Dude, you're not driving a bus.
No.
Tire blows out. You don't just get to move over the side of the road.
Not and gas.
Gas. You lose an engine.
Lose an air pump.
Everybody's going to die if you don't handle it properly. So, yeah.
We saw that happen last year, beginning of the year. Remember that helicopter pilot up in D.C.?
That was horrible, dude. Yeah. Everybody on the plane died.
She died. He died. Everybody died. Everybody dies.
God, that was
and that's the problem with an airplane pilot. And then this mandatory 65-year-old retirement nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, some of the best pilots I know are close to 80. You say, well, why are they so good? Well, they've been flying for 60 years.
It's instinctual.
Yeah.
It's not. At that point, they don't have to think about it anymore.
You know, it was so funny. I could fly my plane. I had so many hours on it. I didn't have to look at my control board. I knew everything was by I could reach down. And I knew everything was by hand, by touching it. You know, I didn't have to even bother looking at my landing speeds and everything else when I was coming in. I mean, I always tried to stay on the point with the landing speeds, but I knew how fast the plane was going because I'd flown it so much. And when you have that ability to fly an aircraft like that, you start getting confidence in it, and you start to realize that you could handle the situation if it goes bad, which I had several situations go bad. And so always remember, you want a pilot that's got experience, not some DEI person that basically thinks they're a guy and they're a girl and they're mentally unstable to start with. I mean, it's awful. And we're going to talk about this Pearl Harbor attack on Russia yesterday.
Yeah, it's wild.
Seven hard questions that everybody should be asking about the Pearl Harbor attack on Russia. Number one, does anyone actually believe that Ukraine was able to pull this off without any outside help? Nope, I don't believe that at all. You know, because what they did was incredible. Number two, other than the Ukrainians, who knew about this attack in advance? Whoa, whoa, whoa. The Ukraine did not notify the Trump administration of the attack, supposedly, though we were told that it was. The Ukrainian official said a U.S. official also told reporters that Trump's administration was not made aware of the attack. All right. Number three, why were Russian bombers just sitting out in the open? Well, we know they did that because of the treaty they had with the U.S. to show that they weren't armed with missiles and with bombs.
They set them up.
And we know that. How much damage was actually done? Ukraine is claiming more than 40 aircraft were hit. That's about 34% of the Russian strategic force. That's a huge amount, by the way. Number five, the Ukrainians know that Russia reserves the right to use nuclear weapons if their strategic nuclear assets were attacked. So why would they risk this to do this? In other words, they know what happens if you attack the nuclear force, and they know that they can now get nuked, which I don't believe will happen. How will the Russians respond? Many in the Russian media are openly discussing the possibility of using nuclear weapons, which I don't believe is going to happen. Russian papers and military bloggers are discussing the prospects of Russia going full tilt into this war. Number seven, why would Ukrainians conduct such an attack if they knew that the Russians would strike back really hard? Ah, there we go. There's the real question right there. Well, the reality is that this whole thing is being orchestrated by somebody other than Putin and the Ukrainians.
There you go.
They don't care about what happens over there. Putin's being told what to do. Putin's being given orders. It's like everybody else is being given orders. Leo Holman said it very, very well. He goes, by now you've all heard something about Ukraine's massive assault of killer drones that attacked the Russian airfield. I mean, how do the Ukrainians have this type of technology available to them, and who's operating those drones? That's the question. And he says the mainstream narrative is the operation took upwards of 18 months to plan. Wow, that's way before Trump took office, Austin. And it was personally overseen by the Ukrainian President Zelensky. That's a complete and total lie.
That's a joke.
That's a lie. Zelensky, whose skill set includes being a former homoerotic dancer and actor.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
You add that.
No, that's what it says. He says, sorry, folks, I don't buy it. This attack was not something a guy like Zelensky, whose skill set includes being a former homoerotic dancer and actor, was prepared for. He's right. The attack, according to the mainstream reports, took about 41 aircraft. Yet other acknowledgeable sources, such as the British diplomat Alistair Crook, estimate the amount of Russian bombers was closer to 7 or 5% of the total amount. Anyway, it's fair to say that whether it was 5%, 10%, or 30%, it's a major deal. It will change the trajectory of the war that Russia and Ukraine have been fighting. A former CIA analyst, Larry Johnson, said Monday in an interview with Judge Napoliano that the U.S. government would likely strive to give the president plausible deniability for an operation like this, which took place some 2,700 miles inside Russia and away from the front lines of the ongoing war. In a NATO proxy war against Russia with Ukraine serving as proxy, somebody in Washington or London had to be involved in an operation of this sophistication.
Right.
I guarantee you, he said, at least one, if not more, officers within the Central Intelligence Agency knew about this. When pressed by Napoliano on how confident he was that CIA, MI6, or perhaps the Mossad would have been involved in Operation Johnson, responded, 100%. Just the operations of initiating, of turning the drones on. Think of the process. You've got them hidden under this roof, so the roof has to open up. That requires an external command. The reports are that they were using the Russian phone network, maybe, but I think Starlink, Elon Musk's operation, was involved with this as well. You can't rule out satellite communication as a source of overhead imagery. Hey, it was reported, and I see no confirmation of it, that the U.S. Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, was watching the attack in real time. Now, that's speculation. There's no proof of that whatsoever. If Johnson, a streetwise veteran, former CIA analyst, is saying that it's 100% sure that someone in the CIA, Mossad, or MI6 was aware of the attack, he's probably right. And if the president did not know about it, then has he just lost all credibility on his supported role as peacemaker for the Russian Ukraine? That's a really good question. If Trump knew nothing about this, why was he completely excluded on an attack like this?
That may have been the point.
The Kremlin's gloves are going to come off, whether as a result of this escalation or the next one, but they're going to come off, and we're going to see World War III with Russia, which I don't believe, which means we will also at some point be fighting China, Iran, and North Korea. Now, here's the interesting part about right here. This is very good. He goes, pray for peace, prepare for war, because with each passing day, we're getting closer. Why? Because the globalist Luciferians who run the puppet politicians want it. They want it because they feel a need in order to complete the Great Reset and transition to an all-digital, all-knowing global surveillance state and end-times beast system powered by artificial intelligence. And boy, oh boy, is that well written. He's absolutely right with what he's saying right there as far as that, because they're trying to bring in the end times as quickly as they possibly can. And you know what's funny about this, too? Think about it. How in the world can you have somebody like Zelensky, who likes to play the piano with his private parts naked running around, coordinating an effort like this. Does anybody believe any of this is true as far as Zelensky's involvement in all this? No, Zelensky is just a complete and total stooge for the deep state. That's all he is, and it's not going to ever be any different than that. I mean, think about what a weirdo this guy is, and he's involved in an 18-month preparation for an all-out assault on Russia's nuclear capability. No,
he has no combat experience at all.
Well, he's a homoerotic dancer.
Yeah. These are allegedly some of the photos that were taken as far as where the stuff that I have no idea.
And is even real.
This is real. This is what they're saying. This is what they've leaked as far as these platforms that they have these drones set up in. And apparently here's some of them as far as where the payloads they put on with C4.
Now, how'd they get these photos, Austin?
That's what I'm saying. And what the thing is, if this thing was so secretive and linked and they're taking all these photos and nobody seemed to know anything about it, that's why the story doesn't make any sense to me. Is how this thing was this hush-hush. Again, I don't know. I think a lot of this stuff sounds like there's a whole bunch of agencies involved in this, in my opinion. A whole bunch of agencies.
It's definitely a whole bunch of agencies.
This wasn't Zelensky being a little mastermind and doing something. He obviously has no experience with this.
I want to read this one little thing here real quick. This is one of the responses here to this, and it was really, really, really good. It says, I haven't watched the interview at this time, but I will. I agree with Johnson. I felt so yesterday. The CIA, Mossad, or MI6 is involved. Did Trump know? Of course, people need to stop being stupid. Listen to this. Why the heck do you think his remark out of nowhere with no prior foundation means? What would cause the president to alter so drastically his position that Ukraine and Zelensky would receive no further funding and supplies from the U.S. in his initial interactions with Zelensky after assuming the presidency? Suddenly, Russia is the villain. Something bad, really bad, is going to happen to Russia. Think about it. He's right.
Yeah.
Trump says, I'm not giving Ukraine any more money.
That's true, but he cut them all off.
And he goes, I'm sick of this BS. Russia slow walked through this war through Ukraine. Putin was a World Economic Forum young leader his past. Trump begins his administration with huge support from those who have opposed the continuation of NATO into this stupid, godforsaken war in Ukraine by railing and discrediting the little punk known as Luzinski. Now he blames Russia for every moment of the war. We all witnessed his railing against Russia after Zelensky tried shooting down Putin's helicopter last week.
Yeah.
Now, listen, this is the final thing. This is the final sentence, paragraph. The stupid group above groups, this is the guys who took down Building 7, by the way, are playing the same old game. Trump arrives beginning his administration like a breath of fresh air. He wants the war done. He criticizes Zelensky, who has been the Biden neocon darling during Biden's first four years.
Right.
Then we get to this crap. He turns on Russia. He supports the good little darling neocon puppet, penis-wagging Zelensky, and begins the same old, same old. That's what it says, penis-wagging Zelensky. And the sad part, that's because he plays that piano with his private parts. And he's absolutely right about this. Why have these things changed unless somebody's reading a script somewhere?
Exactly right.
Unless somebody's an actor on this.
I said this a month and a half ago. This war will be over when Lockheed Martin and Raytheon deem it so. And they haven't deemed it so.
Well,
they're dumping all the weapons that we had, all the weapons in Israel, all the old stuff in the United States, all the old weapons, all the old rockets, the Patriot missiles, all that stuff has gotten fed into Ukraine. All of it. I talked the other day. Israel came out and said, oh, we're sending our Patriot missile systems that we got from the United States 20 years ago. We're sending all of our Patriot systems to Ukraine. They're dumping their old inventory so they can do new contracts. Weapons have an expiration date as far as ammunition and bombs. And this is what they're doing.
It's like old ammo.
Yeah. Got to dump it somewhere. It's got to be cycled somewhere.
You saw that movie War Dogs. Was it War Dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
had
cycled. If ammo's packaged correctly, I mean, I've shot ammo from World War II and it's still operating fine.
But I've been in one stuff from World War II that I shot fired about every other round.
Yeah. Let's see what happens is those government contracts, all that stuff, they have a limit on how long they keep the ammo before they dump
That's
it.
Right.
Now, this is interesting here. Now, the mainstream media is starting to spool this up, and I think the reason why is they need another distraction. They said COVID now is coming out with a new aggressive variant.
Here we go.
Right on time. The NB.1.181 starting to spread worldwide.
I got to say something. Back in the old days, they used to have let's make a deal, curtain number one, curtain number two,
yeah.
Curtain number three. You could pick any curtain you want and try to make a deal on whatever you're going to buy or get
given. The price is right.
It sounds very similar to this. I might be connecting them like this, okay? But the reality is, this is what we're getting here.
Yeah.
Curtain number one, new COVID variant. Curtain number two,
Ukraine war.
Ukraine war.
Yes.
Kurt, number three, a gigantic AI system that's going to be controlling, running, operating, maintaining, and monitoring every single thing you do
and
with every agency.
And what's funny about this, and I did this years ago, I said, what we really have is this. Curtain number one, Lucifer.
Yeah.
Curtain number two, Lucifer. And curtain number three, Lucifer. Pick which Lucifer you want. And you're like,
which costume you want him in?
Yeah, my gosh. Is this unbelievable? I mean, why don't we pick the Most High God in Jesus Christ? That's who I choose. How about, I'm not taking one, two, or three. I'm taking the Word of God and the Bible, and I'm taking the Most High God. That's what I'm going to do. That's going to be God Almighty, the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Abraham, and all the rest of
the What guys. I find interesting about this is this comes out right on the tail of RFK Jr. pulling the COVID shot off the shot
and the
schedule.
The FDA reapproving it.
Isn't that funny? All this stuff's happening. So, oh, you know what? The COVID variant's changed. It's spreading worldwide again. We've got to put the shot back on the table.
Total, complete lies.
Complete theater. Says causing more infections worldwide. The health agency is saying it's a dominant variant. The WHO said an update on May 28th, the variant's driving up cases in parts of the world. Now they're saying here, this is it. The new COVID variant has unique symptoms. You know what I can tell you right now? The three things on a regular basis to handle to maintain your immune system. Vitamin C, D3, zinc was a staple the entire time through COVID. Was a staple before, will be a staple after. That kit has been such a good platform for people to stay on a regular basis. The vitamin C, the antioxidants, the D3 10,000, the zinc glycinate.
Right. It works great. Oh, by the way, we were right about that boxer that knocked that girl out and broke her dog on a bone in her face.
Olympics?
Oh, yeah. He's been testing out with XY chromosome. Imagine
that. Oh, imagine that. You remember the man? Do you remember this guy? He's a, I'm a man. I'm a female now. Don't stop talking about my transition. I'm here to wipe the floor with these girls. And then he goes in. The girl says, you know, the hardest she's ever been hit in her entire life.
She quit. Started crying.
Dude, it was like 15 seconds in. 15 seconds in, dude. I mean, just railed upside the head. And everybody goes, no. It's been proven. He's a female. He's a female? Well, no, she's a female. I'm like, okay. Well, now they just did a full biology test on her, and she was XY.
Oh, by the way, Boeing 737 MAX production is up now. They're actually producing 38 jets per month for the first time in years.
That's a lot of jets.
Well, that's a lot of money being put out through Boeing. And the reality is that plane had a real problem, according to the research that I saw that was done on Netflix on that big thing about why it was crashing, why several of these have crashed and killed everybody on board. Basically, what happened is there were two pita tubes in the front of the plane, which determined the speed of the plane and how much airflow was going into them. And but in that plane, they only put one. And so when that plane goes up real fast and the one tube is plugged up with the bird strike or trash or whatever, the plane thinks it's going too slow. It stalls, so it drops its nose, and it impacts into the ground.
Well, that's a problem.
That was a real problem, and that's what they said they finally figured out. So if that 737 MAX production has actually been fixed now, and they know how to fly that plane right, and they know how to basically train the pilots right, and they know how to get those pita tubes, get another one in there, it's going to be a whole lot better as far as...
You know, you'd think standpoint. That would have been something they would have looked at engineering from the beginning.
But you know what, though, Austin? It's one of those things. The guys are saying, well, we can save, you know, $50,000 only putting one
that's true.
On this plane.
Because one thing about aviation, those big jets, everything is money.
Well, and the thing about it is maybe they're saying this is too much redundancy.
Yeah,
you
that's true.
We don't need another system. We already have that system on the plane.
Yeah, it shaves off $50,000 or $100,000 a plane.
To me, I didn't care. I mean, if I'm flying an airplane, I got an iPad with my coordinates on the iPad.
You always have redundancy.
I mean, I got a backup going right here and a backup on the thing. So if something loses power, I'm there. And I had it like one time. It saved us.
Yes.
You know, it really did. Now, also, this is an interesting one. Glamorous mommy influencer is back. Now, this is crazy. Her husband basically took his own life in their Hamptons home because he was $35 million in debt.
Woo!
Okay. And it says they were in a $12 million Hamptons mansion while drowning in debt. And now, I'm going to say something about this. I don't know how much this influencer was involved in this debt load this guy took on for himself or what she took on for herself. But to me, it's interesting to me. It says it was a far cry from the life that she portrayed on social media, brimming with glittering parties, private plane trips, private jets, and luxury cars. And so all of a sudden, you see this stuff, and a lot of these influencers, they're doing fake it till you make it.
Yep. That's an old adage I heard for years when Instagram popped up.
You know, because now all of a sudden she has enough followers giving her enough money they can afford their $35 million. Here's the thing I don't understand.
That's a lot of debt to service.
No. How in the world did the banks approve of that kind of debt load without going through his last 10 years of tax
returns?
Debt
to income ratio had to be all just absolutely horrific.
I mean, gosh, I try to go buy a car and they want my last 5 years' tax returns now. It's ridiculous what they do. And so how did he get $35 million?
You know what, though? I figured out how to hack the other day. Somebody told me this is a hack. If we go, though, like I think what we need to do, we just need to take a boat or plane. We go back over to Mexico and we go through the border. When we get there, we tell them we're seeking asylum and they give us free houses and a free cell phone.
And then we start our own social media program.
Yeah. And tell everybody how much we hate America. Anyways, that was a side note.
But you know, oh by the way, this goes about fake it till you make it. Bankrupt Microsoft backed AI company. Microsoft decided to fund this AI company because they had an AI doing all of this development. Last week, British AI startup backed by Microsoft and Qatar Investment Authority, Builder AI, filed for bankruptcy after its CEO said a major creditor had seized most of its cash, valued at $1.5 billion after a $445 million investment by Microsoft and Bill Gates. The company claimed to leverage artificial intelligence to generate custom apps in days or weeks, which would produce functional code that had less human involvement. Well, guess what? It was all a lie. They had 700 of these little Indians running around, little engineers, basically from social media, and they were doing it all for them as quickly as they possibly could, saying it was AI.
Kidding me?
No, it's right here. It's just a bankrupt. It was basically by he was using Indian engineers, and I've got a friend of mine who works for Indian engineers for internet company. She has also computers, and she told me these guys they call all hours of the morning because India is a different time zone.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They don't care if it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They midnight, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, they expect the phone to be on all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because if you don't do this, they just hire somebody else to do it.
Exactly right.
They fire you.
Yeah.
So you're on call 24/7. If you've got a job that's like that, wow.
That's horrible.
She told me about that yesterday, and I said, well, it's not part of the Protestant work ethic. You go, well, what does that even mean? Well, they used to teach this. And the Protestant work ethic was, you know, you work basically hard, really hard, but your alone time, your private times with your family and with God and with religious services.
Yeah.
Because it's a Protestant work ethic. You can't spend your whole time trying to make more and more money and kill yourself and have no relationship with God or your family. Okay, and so the Protestant work ethic was very, very good. They would work really, really hard. I was raised with a Protestant work ethic, being Lutheran. I remember one time I was working at Morrow Memorial Hospital, and I was just going my normal pace. I was cleaning floors, doing what I was doing. I was in college, and finally one of the other guys came up to me and says, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? I says, he goes, you're making us all look bad.
You're getting too much done.
Yeah, that's what he said. He says, you're getting it done too fast. He goes, you got to slow it down. I said, This is my normal pace. I'm not even going fast. He goes, you don't understand. You're making us look bad. So obviously we don't want to look bad. So you've got to slow this pace down. It's a true story.
No, I know that happens.
And I thought to myself, wow. But you know, he actually articulated it.
Yeah.
And then one of these crazy guys, one of these losers over there, he ended up basically taping up some lady's headlights.
That's smart.
No, she's like 80 years old, man. And she drove home at night with her headlights taped up, and she was all stressed out, thought she was going to die. And the next day she called me up. Her name was Olene. Really nice little old lady. She was so upset this guy had done that. Just playing a practical joke, like it was some kind of joke.
That's not a funny joke,
It's not a funny joke at all. She got in there, headlights didn't turn on. She drove home in the dark, you know. So, I mean, so these are the types of people that were there working with me.
Quality.
So, oh, yeah. It was. They were way up there as far as what they're about.
This is interesting. I warned everybody years back when they were asking me about companies like Ancestry and 23andMe. This 23andMe has been one of the biggest DNA database collection scams I think I've ever witnessed. This company now has been handed out like 3 or 4 different owners as far as, and it keeps getting tossed around. The new 23andMe founder aims to restart auction with major corporate backing now. So 23andMe is back on the table. They've now asked a U.S. judge to reopen the auction for the genetic testing company, saying they have support of a Fortune 500 company with a $400 billion market cap. They're saying now that essentially the data breach has been fixed and the 2023 exposure to sensitive genetic material of millions of customers, that won't happen again.
How do they get that information back, Austin? Has it been fixed? It's still out there.
That's the point. all everybody's data, everybody's DNA, everybody went out there. And I told you guys this was my opinion. I'm not blaming anything. This is just me in my opinion. I don't think this was a data breach. This company was going bankrupt. It was basically being liquidated. I think they had to sell something on the backside. It's my opinion. Sell something on the backside to hackers.
And no proof of this.
Accidentally had a breach and then basically got funding on another.
Somebody internally who they didn't know, who the owners didn't know about, did something like that.
Well, there's been rumors before, not necessarily just with this company, but I've heard it with other companies. You know, companies basically just got troves of data, but the company's massively undervalued because of debt or whatever. Well, then you allegedly have somebody in the company that goes in and allows something to have a back door that hacks everything. Well, then suddenly they get a massive amount of money into a offshore shell LLC that's owned by another shell LLC, and they just randomly have all this money that just shows up, or Bitcoin. And so this is something that's very strange to me, but I've told you guys, this was a lot of data that's been sold all across the world now on millions of people.
Well, what's interesting about this, this is how you could develop an absolute targeted bioweapon.
That's exactly right.
Are you listening to me?
That's not conjecture theory. That's how you do it.
Yeah, because remember that last James Bond movie, they were doing that.
Yep.
Remember? They actually built a targeted bioweapon based on DNA.
Yep.
And you know, they could say, we don't like Germans anymore.
Correct.
Okay, we got certain specific genetic markers of Germans. Now we can find out what they are because of this DNA data breach, and we can go after that specific gene that can basically turn off something or turn on something in the body for people that are Germans or Russians or Chinese or Hispanics or Venezuelans.
Anybody, it doesn't matter.
Make any difference. Because everybody's been in a certain geographical area breeding for hundreds of years in most cases, and they're part of that ethnic group. And so they have certain ethnic things and anomalies in their own DNA showing who they are. That's why you get different hair color, different eye color, different height, different structure, different everything else, because it's all different DNA. By the way, there's a centuries-old Ohio paper mill set to close. This is kind of a sad story. Judy Sowers is the matriarch of a family that has been generations of work at the Mead, which is the paper mill in Chilochi, is known by many locals. On May the 8th, Sowers gathered around a kitchen table with two of her daughters and her brother and her son, because they are now shutting the plant down. 800 people in this Appalachian foothills of southern Ohio will lose their job. Now, my deepest condolences to the families of this, because this plant's been around for over 100 years. And see, now, here's the problem that I see with this. They can't compete against the cost of paper coming out of China.
No, they can't.
Okay. Because of legacy costs, in most cases, because of retirement benefits that are being given to the people after over 100 years. And so what happens is we have these people who own these plants simply can't pay the bills anymore. They have to keep raising the prices, and they're undercut by Chinese imports. Now, why Donald Trump doesn't get involved in this, I don't understand. This is a pretty big deal. And why he doesn't stop closures of plants like this, obviously it's still operational. Obviously it can still make paper, Austin.
Yes.
Obviously it's got a lot of people who depend upon it, and obviously it's going to be a major blow to the small community. So I see this kind of stuff everywhere. In Switzerland, they make sure that they can support their own economy with food and products from Switzerland in the event they close their borders off so they can maintain their population. Why we can't do this, I don't know. But we have so many of these different types of mills and all these different sectors that are being closed, being moved, being shut down. But yet Trump's saying, we're going to reopen America and we're going to start making our products again. Here's a perfect example. Here's a company. Instead of giving trillions of dollars into a budget, Austin, why don't we just try to go into the people that are funding this particular company, take a look at the books, say, we'll have you keep this open.
That's exactly right.
Let's maintain this. I mean, they keep that wretched Amtrak going that's always running empty. That's always being
I mean, the new Brightline death train, that one's living a lot more successful as far as timelines and stuff.
But it killed another one this week.
He keeps killing people. I'm sorry. If you had a friend or family member that's died in a Brightline accident, I apologize for your loss. But it's not a it goes like 80 miles an hour through some of the areas.
80 miles an hour.
80 miles. 79. Yeah, there's something I wanted to add on here, though. So this just came out a couple days ago because I was trying to go through this information with 23andMe. This just came out. Wall Street Journal just covered this. I'm moving fast now, so stay with me. Those purple sticks are coming in. Regeneron Pharmaceuticals is now the company that's got the highest bid on 23andMe. They make specific DNA profile drugs.
Who owns Regeneron, Austin?
I pretty much can tell you that. I'll dig that up in a second. Yeah, they're a U.S. biotech company that essentially invents, develops, and commercializes life-transforming medicines that are specific, DNA-specific.
What did I just tell you?
Oh, so, you know, nothing to see here. We've got a giant pharmaceutical company that's going to buy 15 million people's DNA data so they can start addressing, developing, and designing drugs.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Regeneration Pharmaceutical. Well, let me see who's who owns that. Give me a second.
Okay, but why are you
I'm doing that, yeah.
Is birthright citizenship a national suicide pact? On the second day of his inauguration, Trump issued an executive order entitled Protecting the Meaning and Value of American Citizenship. Sounds innocent enough, right? But this is an infamous order declaring that birthright citizenship is not extended to the parents of children in the United States that are here illegally. Not so fast, said attorneys for illegal aliens and their children. Our clients snuck across the border fair and square. That's what it says. And they want the prize promised to them by the Constitution. U.S. citizenship for all children born after they cross the border. But is that really what the Constitution says? And here are the words of the 14th Amendment. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state where they reside. Whoa. As President Trump noted in his executive order, the words subject to the jurisdiction thereof have always been used to exclude certain classes of people from birthright citizenship. That included, for instance, children of diplomats who enjoy immunity in their host country. For several decades, it also included Native Americans or certain tribes that entered into treaties that provided at least partial sovereignty. Those exclusions are not in the Constitution, but they are in the law, so why can't there be an exclusion for illegal immigrants? Trump's executive order correctly recognizes that the higher purpose of the 14th Amendment was to guarantee citizenship for the children of former slaves, which is true, who had not only been subject to the jurisdiction of the American government, but even subject to sale by the American government. They had earned citizenship through hardship, pain, and suffering, not through an accident of birth. Obviously, the authors of the amendment recognized the high value of citizenship, and it seems unlikely they would just hand it out willy-nilly. Three district court judges have already ruled against Trump and issued temporary nationwide injunctions. There's no reason why some smart parliamentarian could not carve out a new exception narrowly tailored to allow simple majority to define citizenship. This is an invitation to chaos and collapse. It seems like using brute force to impose a national changing mandate upon the American people, so it be. Just as Arthur Goldberg wrote in 1963, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. Yet allowing the children of well over 20 million illegal immigrants to become citizens of a country whose customs they ignore, whose language they don't use, whose flags they burn, whose riots they cause, whose laws their parents broke even before they were born, is an invitation to collapse and chaos in the United States of America.
Well said. What they're doing.
Who owns that company?
Well, you know, I figured I'd just do a quick little digging. So Regeneron, at the forefront now, genetics guided research and drug development with a portfolio of marketed medicines that include therapies for blindness, allergic diseases, and essentially they do genetics guided drug development, DNA specific, and top shareholders. Well, you know, what'd you expect?
Right here.
Vanguard, BlackRock, FMR, JP Morgan, State Street. I rest my case on that one.
They own the world. Now they want our DNA.
Now they want everybody's DNA so they can make drugs, DNA-specific drugs.
Well, you know, they say in the book of Revelation it's through pharmakia they control the masses. That's through drugging.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's through opiates. It's through drugs. It's through everything. You know, I mean, think about it for a second. If you're a diabetic, if you're a juvenile diabetic, type 1, and you have to have insulin every single day, and insulin's $10 a vial. Okay, you'll be able to buy your insulin, or you die at $10 a vial. If it goes to $100 a vial, you will buy your insulin, or you will die at $100 a vial.
Yeah.
If you have it at $1,000 a vial, you will find a way, most cases, to buy your insulin, or you will die. It's called an inelastic demand curve.
Yep.
And that's what happens with people basically when they get on the drugs. That's why pharmakia is so big. They get people addicted to this stuff, including psychiatric medications that are almost impossible to come off of, like Xanax.
$500 billion a year industry now, man. Over $500 billion in pharmaceutical
drugs. Or Effexor. That's the same release Prozac. Some of these drugs are almost impossible to come off of. You have to go to like a rehab to get off of these things. And you can actually die from withdrawal from Xanax. Physically die. And so, you know, they get you on these drugs. And they say, oh, by the way, we're going to target your DNA, and we're going to make you healthy now. And in some cases, it will work. I will give them that. But the reality is that what are they doing it for? Because they're trying to help people, also, or because they want to maximize profits? That's what they said in the Financial Times a few years ago. They want to make diabetes manageable for a lifetime and cancer manageable so they can massively increase their profits.
Cancer's no longer a disease anymore. Cancer's an industry.
It is.
It's an industry now. It is what it is. And that's why I keep telling everybody it's so important to really watch as far as, especially with these toxic chemicals that are being put in the food, with these preservatives. Do the best you can to keep it out of your diet when you know it. You're never going to be able to eat perfect. You're never going to be able to keep stuff out of your diet 24/7. It's never going to happen. You're just going to be exposed to stuff on a regular basis. But decreasing that exposure is key. And then giving your body the correct nutrients, like the magnesium brain food, like the Ultimate Multiple, like the vitamin C, D3, and zinc, immune system strong. There's another article that just came out. So I was talking about collagen yesterday when it's on sale. It says the body's super glue. It says collagen essentially is a hard protein most commonly present in skin, bones, connective tissue. And it goes into detail, similar to what I talked about yesterday. Collagen works to keep skin strong, smooth, resilient, and elastic. After 40, it massively starts to decline, which is why you've got to start supporting it with proper nutrition and taking good, healthy doses of it. The one we have is grass-fed bovine
collagen. It's a cellular glue that holds you together, Austin.
Everything together. And vitamin C works in conjunction with collagen.
Vitamin C holds the collagen together.
Yep. And so collagen's loss in skin, it can be multiple reasons why. Lack of nutrients, too much sun damage, too many pollutants in the body. So be sure you're adding that supplement in if you really want to get the good results, especially for muscle recovery too. Because there's that study that came out, and it was on, I think, Harrison. Where is he at? I think Harrison wrote an article on it.
He did.
And it was really good articles. I had no idea how important they were together. And where's he at?
Vitamin C and collagen are synergistic.
Yeah. Yes, they're synergistic. And also, too, the aspect of maybe it's not on here. I need to make sure you put some on the new site. But he wrote a really good article with the fit food protein and the collagen post-workout, what it does as far as increasing and maximizing recovery. So I'll make sure to see what that's at. Really.
The other thing I want to say to you, really, you know, you've got to maintain your antioxidants.
Yes.
The A, the C, the D, the E. And you've got to really eliminate, in most cases, a lot of sun. You know, I'm not saying that sunshine is bad for you because it's not.
Yeah, we love sun in Florida.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, and I've seen it before. I had a friend of mine. I hadn't seen her in about 10, 12 years. And I remember she showed up here a few months back, and she basically lays in the sun every day. And she looks like she lays in the sun every day. She's got deep wrinkles on her face now, and she's like 40 years old. I mean, she really looks wrinkly. She's aging really, really bad. She says, why use sunscreen? Doesn't make any difference. Even if you use sunscreen, you lay in the sun, it's going to age your skin, period. And it's very important that we understand that. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't get sun, but just wear a hat. Okay? I remember Sharon used to always lay in the sun when she was young up in Fort Walton Beach. But she'd always cover her face, always cover it up with a hat. She said, I never got sun on my face. And you think, well, I don't care about that. I don't care how bad my face looks. Okay, I got that. It's okay. We all know that because we can see you. And I don't care if you're a guy or a gal. This is true. But the reality is how much of that do you want to do and how quickly do you want to age? That's the question. I know I worked a lot when I was young in the sun. So did Austin. A lot. And yeah. It caused a lot of damage on my skin. And I had to get that stuff fixed. And that's painful getting it fixed, by the way, you know, with laser therapy and microneedling and all the other kind of crazy stuff you've got to do to get rid of that, the sunspots. But the reality is it's easier to avoid that stuff, Austin, and avoid the sun as far as on your face rather than basically having to deal with this as you get older.
I thought
I mentioned that, but that's why the vitamin C, and now don't get me wrong, everybody looks better with a suntan.
We love having a tan.
I know. That's I agree
Florida,
with you.
Man.
Everybody does. So, I mean, I used to do that all the time. I used to use sunbeds way back when. And I finally said, you know, I'm not doing this anymore. This is just not worth it.
Well, in Florida, it's so easy to get sun. I mean, go outside and do some yard work for a while. When I used to ride motorcycles, I used to ride motorcycles a lot. I usually tried to wear a full-face helmet, though. Occasionally, I didn't if I was doing something on the back road. But I saw too many people die. And the skull does not handle asphalt at 60 miles an hour at all. If you come down here and you ride bikes, wear a helmet, please. We don't need any more motorcycle deaths.
Well, if you don't believe that, just drop a watermelon out of the truck on a back road.
Yeah.
That's what your skull's going to do.
Pieces.
Yeah. That's what happens. I mean,
pieces.
But, you know, now, why were you tying motorcycle helmets together with sunshine?
Oh, how easy it is to get sunshine in Florida, how easy it is to get too much sun in Florida. You're out of the beach. You're on motorcycles. When you're on a motorcycle, you always got a T-shirt on. Sometimes I didn't wear a T-shirt on a bike.
Well,
bugs hurt.
I tell you, that's why I like riding in the winter better. I like wearing leathers.
Yeah, leathers is the safest. But yes, Florida, I love getting sun down here. I think I was thinking the other day, I was looking at photos.
I was reminiscing about having a bike again.
No, no, that's a no. Don't do that.
Don't.
You have babies. You have children.
It's so much fun.
You got an 18-month-old. No, no, no.
All right. Anyways, I want to get another bike.
The traffic here is horrible.
The traffic here is horrible.
You know, you don't see very many motorcycles on I-4 anymore.
You notice that, too?
You know why, don't you?
They're all dead. We're either dead or retired.
Or they're basically arrested for doing crazy stuff out there, you know? But I don't see them anymore. And I never see rockets running down the road at 150 miles an hour anymore.
You can't, man. You die. I mean, back in the day, and I'm not condoning this, back in the day we used to ride motorcycles a lot, there was no traffic. You know, we leave in the evening to go to Daytona, and I mean, when I say there was no traffic
at night. An hour.
You could get to Daytona for literally like an hour. And I mean, you may have been going a little over the speed limit, but there's no traffic.
You're doing like 30 miles an hour over the speed limit to do that.
Something like that. Allegedly.
We do not
allegedly
recommend this.
Anyways, I'll get off this topic and get myself in trouble here. So, yes, back to antioxidants, the collagen, where I was at on here. Make sure you're taking the proper supplements. And the bovine grass-fed collagen that we get is out of Utah. Somebody asked me that. It's cattle raised out of Utah.
By the way, is the American government, are they unaccountable at every level?
Yes.
That's the answer, is yes. I'm talking from city to county.
Pretty much, for the most part.
Do many Americans understand that it is not the U.S. federal civil service that works against American citizens on behalf of DEI policies and the woke agenda? It is also state and local bureaucrats. There we go. And perhaps as well as your child's doctor and teacher. Rights have been taken away from parents and American citizens who are forced to fund numerous activities and programs that are against their values and violate their rights, which courts refuse to defend. Childbearing among white women is collapsing. It is not only that a household requires two earners and that the younger generations are entertainment and pleasure oriented, but also governments deny parents paternal authority. Wow. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's right about that, by the way. We saw that at the doggone county board meetings. And, you know, whenever certain groups of people decide they're going to deem it so, it's always so.
You don't have a right to tell us your child won't wear a mask in school.
And if you don't think so, they'll put a police officer standing right behind you.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. American democracy is a hoax. The rulers of America are not the people. This is interesting. He says, opening the CIA's can of worms, who created and maintains a fictionalized narrative on who controls Americans and live in ignorance and rule operating agendas. Curtin says it's the CIA. Remember, the CIA controls the media, and the CIA is Kabbalist owned, and basically the CIA used to have witches on payroll. Just thought I'd mention that to you. It's a satanic organization. It's the CIA, not everybody, but it's the highest levels it can be. Not the media or the internet companies or the politicians who control the narratives. The CIA own overlords are the powerful financial and corporate interests in which the American success depends. Current accounts parallel with the U.S. Marine contractor commander Smedley Butler, which we quoted the other day, and that he and the U.S. Marines were enforcers in Latin America for the United Fruit Company and other New York banks. That was before the CIA will have that. There's endless documented evidence for Curtin's conclusion. Much has been written about the CIA's Operation Mockingbird. That's very, very true. Also, Operation Condor, now described by the CIA assets as an alleged operation. It wasn't alleged. Beginning in 1950, the CIA began using bribes, such as leaks to American media, that were designed to influence America and foreign opinion with controlled narratives that advance secret agendas. The CIA's leaks made the careers of reporters who could attest to their editors, CIA source, and make the front page in the headlines. Most journalists regarded as influential were CIA assets.
There you go.
Including Anderson Cooper to this day. More recently, Udo Ofink's book, Bought Journalism, revealed that he, an editor at Germany's largest newspaper and most significant journalist in Europe, are CIA assets. In Europe, too. And this was confirmed by Otto Schlussmeister, editor-in-chief and publisher of the Austria's Die Presse. We know it's from Stephen Kistner's book, The Brothers, which gives the story of how U.S. Secretary John Foster Dulles and CIA Director Alan Dulles and the State Department's CIA and American and foreign journalists give corporation clients the powerful law firms to control the world. Today, of course, many proven facts are dismissed by the media and Wikipedia as conspiracy theory. The CIA has to continue to do their assigned jobs controlling the narratives and controlling the media, including shadow banning alternative media like us who try to tell the truth about what we're going to talk about right now. In The Secret Team, Fletcher Prouty documented that CIA has placed operatives at every agency of the government,
every agency. Kurt reminds us that not long ago, the New York Times gleefully reported that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who had been documenting for years the adverse effects of children on vaccines, was barred from Instagram over false virus claims. What we see is the media being used by Big Pharma to discredit highly knowledgeable sources. As far as I can tell, the last two generations of graduates of the U.S. educational in reality are brainwashed. I recently attended a high school graduation ceremony in North Florida. 41% of the graduating class were either summa cum laude, magna cum laude, or cum laude. Why do you think this is happening? They're giving these children these grades, and these grades are not earned. They are given.
That's a fact.
MAGA Americans should consider that if President Trump refuses to accommodate the ruling establishment, he faces the possibility that the midterm elections will be stolen from the Democrats. Again, in charge of Congress, they will impeach and try to convict Trump. They will indict him again, and his government will be terrorizing his supporters again and establish DEI woke truth over America. Yep. He's right.
Yep.
Every bit of that's right. The CIA controls the narrative in so many different scenarios.
Well, this is what me and Doug talked about on the show last week, is that what they're doing, in my opinion, with these judges, and they're doing these blocks with these immigrants as far as these illegal aliens and these Venezuelan gang members and deporting them, is they're trying to get Trump in a position where they can file articles of impeachment on him again this presidency. They say, well, you make his contempt of court. You didn't follow what we said. We're now filing articles against you. Because there's too many things that these judges are doing that don't make any sense at all from a United States security standpoint. They only seem like they're trying to set up a trap. Also, too, setting up a trap, RFK Jr., you know, he got the shot pulled off the shot schedule at the same time. We said that they're coming out with a new COVID variant over the weekend, ironically enough. And at the same time, ironically, this weekend, the FDA quietly approved a new RNA COVID-19 vaccine from Moderna. The FDA approved the RNA-based COVID-19 from Moderna quietly over the weekend. The new vaccine, mNEX Spike, is approved for active immunization to prevent coronavirus. They're saying now that the FDA is requiring them to put a package insert notifying the potential for myocarditis or pericarditis, stating roughly 25 cases per million doses.
That's not even true. It's much higher.
Much higher than that. They said this is the FDA's approval of our third product, mNEX Spike. We had an important new tool to help protect people at higher risk from severe diseases. And this is crazy to me. So this whole thing that I think happened with the CDC pulling us off the shot schedule, I think this is all theater as a distraction, in my opinion now. I think they have a whole lot of more stuff lined up in the toolbox, and they're going to roll more stuff out now. They did it as kind of a bone to calm everybody down. All this stuff happened too coincidentally, all literally at the exact same time.
Well, the only thing Kennedy can do is go back in and try to stop this again.
Because he doesn't run the FDA.
They're under the HHS.
But he can't control the vaccine advisory board, though, because they're independent.
No, but he can come back in and have his own board come in now and say, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
And here's why.
But again, it's going to tie it up more. At the same time, Moderna got the vaccine produced. It's rolling out in the market.
Unbelievable.
So another RNA gene therapy shot for the next variant. Coincidentally, at the same time, they're saying there's a new variant in China.
It's like we said the other day.
You can't make this stuff
the
up.
The entities that run the planet, they're off-world, right? They're a different dimension. They don't like us, and they don't like us being in the image of the Most High God. They don't like this at all. They're trying to change us. That's what this MRI is all about, to make us something else. This is what happened in Genesis 6.
That's exactly right.
You know, they weren't really – God didn't really kill people made in his image in Genesis chapter 6. They were already changed.
That's true.
Their DNA
altered. It was contaminated.
So that's why he took the planet out. You know, they had all kinds of crazy stuff going on in Genesis 6. And he said, you know, we're not going to do this. This is not something I want to do. I'm not going to be involved in all this. But remember, your God, the God who made you, the God who made the heavens and the earth, Jesus, he's the author, he's the finisher, and he's the perfecter of our faith. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Always remember, pray like it's all up to you and work like it's pray like it's all up to God and pray, work like it's all up to you. The old German adage that I've quoted you so many times, zwei Leben stützen brechen nie, gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Always remember that it's God who's in control, God who's in charge, and we're only here for a little while, and we're only passing through for a very short period of time, and we'll be with him for all eternity.
And if they start rolling out another more of this fear porn with all this vaccine virus
we're not getting a meteorite hitting the planet.
No.
I don't believe that.
Keep your immune system updated and strong, just like we told you guys 6 years ago. The same thing applies now. It's tried and true.
The only reason they would use those deep underground bunkers, this is the only reason, if they finally found the biological that could wipe out most of the planet.
Well, yeah, because the thing about it is the nukes don't really have any upside on the back end. There's no infrastructure. 6G, 5G is gone.
It's not even that. The nukes disrupt the holographic energy field we're in.
Why would they blow up the trillion-dollar industry that they've used to control everyone through 5G and 6G? Well, it's gone.
It fries everything.
So, get my friends, stock up if you need anything. Vitamin C, D3, zinc. Keep your immune system up. And the last day of the collagen peptides on sale.
Great product.
Keep those joints strong, my friends. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night.
Love you guys.
We'll talk to you on the show tomorrow, as always.